take this matter of God permits us to be humbled. In the Old Testament, it was never true. God permits us to fall. Not that we fall, but God permits us to fall. I'll give you an example of that. Luke chapter 22, the Lord is telling Simon in verse 31, Simon Peter, this is the last day before he went to the cross. It's almost his last words before he went to the cross. Luke 22:31. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Now, you read that and Jesus loved Simon intensely. He loves you intensely. I want to tell every one of you in Jesus' name, the Lord loves you intensely. Does he permit those who are intensely loved to be sifted by Satan? We're not talking here about Judas Iscariot or Caiaphas, the high priest, being sifted by Satan. This is the closest disciple of Jesus, Peter. Satan wants permission to sift him like wheat. And he has been permitted. And his prayer, he says, but I prayed for you, praise the Lord. Jesus says, I prayed for you. And what is he praying? Father, don't let him be sifted. No, that is not his prayer. That's not his prayer for you either. His prayer is, let him be sifted. And let him deny me. Not once, not twice, three times. He told him that in verse 34, I say to you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you will have denied me three times. And I say, Lord, you may say like this, Lord, why don't you pray that he will not deny you? Why don't you pray that he'll be in such circumstances that he will not deny you? Isn't it a terrible thing to deny the Lord? Jesus once said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. He never said, if you commit murder, I'll deny you before my Father. He never said, if you commit adultery, I'll deny you before my Father. But he said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So which is the greatest sin? Murder, adultery, or denying Jesus? You know the answer. It's only concerning denying him before men that he said, I'll deny you before my Father. He never said that in relation to any other sin that you commit. And yet that worst sin of all, the Lord did not stop Peter from doing. He should have prayed, Father, don't let him deny me. That's not what he prayed. What he prayed in verse 32 was that Peter's faith will not fail after he has denied the Lord. And that after he has denied the Lord, he will repent, turn again, and then strengthen his brothers. God's ways are so mysterious, no? You wouldn't pray that for your children. Supposing your children are going to some difficult place, college or something like that. Would you pray that they never deny the Lord? Or they should deny the Lord, deny the Lord, deny the Lord? No, we pray, oh Lord, don't let that happen. And yet, God allowed Peter to be humbled. And I'll tell you why. God's ways are mysterious. There's always a purpose in God's ways. Because God was going to use Peter in a very mighty way 6 weeks after that, on the day of Pentecost. I mean, 7 weeks or so after that, on the day of Pentecost. He was going to use him in a very mighty way. So mighty that 3,000 Jews would be converted with a 15-minute sermon. I've never in my life heard of 3,000 Jews being converted by anybody's 15-minute sermon. To convert one Jew to Christ is a difficult thing. Imagine 3,000 Jews being converted. And if you read that sermon, there's not such a fantastic sermon, Acts chapter 2. You read that. If you heard somebody preaching the type of sermon in Acts chapter 2, would you go away impressing, boy, what a fantastic sermon? Not at all. You read it and see. How in the world did 3,000 Jews get converted by listening to that? Only one reason: the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of these exciting sermons that you hear are not necessarily great sermons in God's eyes, because they accomplish very little. And when that happened, I can imagine all the other disciples rushing up to Peter and say, "Wow, Peter, I never expected such a revival to take place. What a mighty anointing that was upon you." And Peter would not be puffed up, because he knew that just 7 weeks earlier he had denied the Lord so terribly. That failure was necessary for Peter to remain humble on the day of Pentecost. Those are God's mysterious ways. He permits failure to humble a person, so that when a mighty miracle takes place, like the conversion of 3,000 Jews, he will not suddenly get a puffed head. Because what will happen if Peter got a puffed head? From that moment, God would have to resist him. Because it's an unchangeable law of God that he resists the proud. It doesn't matter who it is, even if it is Peter, even if it is you or me, God will resist the proud. That is as certain as the law of gravity. Everything falls down. The law of gravity pulls it down. Everywhere in the world, the law is the same. God resists the proud is a law unchanging. It's unchanging in all eternity. It was unchanging in the past when he cast Satan down for pride. It's been throughout the ages how God has humbled preachers who were proud. And it'll be true in all eternity in future. The proud are always resisted. It doesn't matter whether they are believers or unbelievers or preachers or anybody. God is against the proud. There's a verse in the Psalms which says, in Psalm 138, I think, God keeps the proud people far away from him. I sometimes tell people in my church also, when I see a proud person, I keep him far away from me. I'm not interested in fellowship with him. If God keeps him far away, I keep him far away. I want to be like God. And so God didn't want to keep Peter far away, so he humbled him by failure. That is part of God's mysterious ways. Don't be offended when God allows you to fail. That is a preparation for the ministry God has for you.